WGN, it is Dane here in the Allstate Skyline Studios for WGN. Nightside is a kind of a cool, eclectic blend of things that we're going to be doing on the program today and in general for this. So stay tuned. We're going to have some summer road trips, some summer movies, a bunch of cool things coming up here on the program, as well as featuring and highlighting some of the great podcasts here on WGN Radio. So we'll have two of those. Shypedia is going to be up with Marsha Lyle. She's going to be sharing some of the things that she's done, her adventures, and the podcast. And then, and Casera is in the booth as well. Casera, say hello.
Hola, you got me. Perfect.
I do got you. Nice. Now, what do you do? I know you're here at the station. This is the first time that you've worked in this particular studio, so the new Palatial Digs at 303. But kind of summer vacation-wise, and let the listeners know a little bit about you and what you're doing on the DJ side.
Gotcha. Yeah, so my name is Casera. I also go by DJ Cash Era. I produce a couple shows here. So I'm here Sunday mornings with Steve Dale and Rick Pearson. And then I also produce a podcast called The Corner Store with Kevin Koval and Tara Mahadevan. We interview various Chicago artists, you know, be it music or fashion-based photography. It's pretty cool. And then I DJ when I'm not here.
That's right.
So, yeah, before I even got here, I was at Soho House DJing an event. So.
How do you take it down a notch from the music side of things, and then you kind of got to find sort of that quiet place, right, and kind of get into the zen zone here at WGN?
I use my car rides as like my chance to really zone out and just be to myself. 90s R&B really helps me focus. So that's like my me time. So like, and I can't stand when people want to ride with me to a DJ gig, because then I feel like they always want to hear like super hype music, and I'm just like, no, this is the time that I calm down and get ready to play hype music. And then same thing with just debriefing, to where I just get in the car and I always take a moment just to pause and reflect on what I just did, because I'm very grateful to be so young and do everything that I get to do in Chicago, like the greatest city in the world. So that's how I try to go about it.
Absolutely. And we'll share, I'm sure, in future episodes, some of the podcasting side of things. That's the great thing about podcasts. We've got a great collection of them here at WGN Radio. We mentioned Shypedia is going to be coming up a little bit after midnight. Marshall is going to join us. We'll hear some of those clips. And then also this one coming up after the break. And we have an opportunity to talk to one of the hosts for Apparently, and it's and then the word parent, and then Lee, and it's the podcast for absolutely average parents, which I think, you know, hopefully we all can kind of fit into that category. And that's Ann Johnsos and Tracy Weiner, two people that, if you know and have listened to WGN for a long time, have had a great history here, and now they're sharing a lot of those kind of trials, tribulations, challenges, and triumphs on the parenting side. And we do have Tracy on the line with us to help kick things off. Tracy, welcome to WGN.
Hi, thank you, Dane, for having me.
Well, this is cool. You know, in the radio world, you don't always get to talk about the things that you want to write or that are interesting, or even share your own stuff. But this is a podcast that is truly your own, and it is a really fun one to listen to.
Thank you so much. It's actually fun to do, and it's very natural given that Ann and I have known each other for so long, and our kids are literally a month or two apart from each other and have grown up together. So it just makes for kind of a coffee clutch, if you will, when we're talking about, oh, did this happen to Hannah, or did this happen to Kate, and stuff like that. So it's been fun to do.
Talk a little bit about the range. Of course, listeners can find it at WGNradio.com, but the kind of things that you guys go into. I mean, a lot of fun stuff, but also some issues, some deep issues as well.
Yeah, we've kept it kind of light so far, but I think with all the things that go with parenting, there's a lot of tough topics too. So we run the gamut. It's, you know, sending your kid off to college, or, you know, your baby's not sleeping through the night, sleepless nights, if everyone remembers those dimes. So we kind of run the gamut of everything.
When we come back from the break, we're going to play an episode from Apparently. We're going to play at least a good chunk of it, and it gives a little overview into your background, some of the connections that you and Ann both have, of course, here to WGN, and then kind of the inspiration, the genesis for it. But here's the topic, and I think a lot of parents, it is summertime, and a lot of kids are heading off to summer camp. And so we're going to play that, but talk a little bit about making that episode and what kind of things you put in there.
Well, this episode was near and dear to my heart because I pretty much laid it all out there in how painful the first time my oldest daughter, who's now 12, but when she went off to summer camp for the first time away from me, and just like the turmoil I went through for the whole week, worrying and fetching about what was going to happen and if she was going to have fun or be miserable, and I would never know. And Anne's kids also had gone off to a couple day camp. I don't think it was a week, but so we kind of like rocked each other, held each other's hands through that time. And our guest was amazing. So we always, like, the whole premise of our podcast is that we're just average parents, and we have our own personal experiences and context, but we look for somebody that maybe knows a little bit more about something and kind of, like, you know, says it's okay and it's going to be okay, Tracy, when she goes off to camp, and here's why.
I can't wait to hear it. And the connection to is our 10-year-old. We've got three kids. We've got an 11-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 6-year-old. And our 10-year-old went off for an extended weekend Girl Scout trip just a couple weeks ago. So a lot of connections there. Certainly we can relate. I know a lot of listeners can as well. So,
absolutely.
So, Tracy, well, thanks for jumping on. Give the information if you guys have a website, social media, people can keep up with all your adventures.
Sure, absolutely. We have a Facebook page right now, and it's Apparently, and it's Parently. So, like exasperated. Apparently is the podcast.
And it is the podcast for absolutely average parents. And thanks so much for doing it and for jumping on the show today and bringing it here to WGN.
Hey, thanks so much. There's no need to argue. Parents just don't understand.
It's awesome. 720 WGN. It is Nightside. Dane here with you until 1 a.m. and part of the Nightside episode. Certainly, we're going to do some of the things sort of on the road, summer, current events, things that are out there. And some great guests are going to come in and share some of those things throughout the course of today's program. We're going to talk some travel, but we're also highlighting some of the great podcasts and their hosts that are here at WGNRadio.com. We just talked with Tracy Weiner, and now we're going to feature an episode from Apparently, and here it is.
Welcome to Apparently, the podcast for absolutely average parents. I'm Ann Johnsos.
And I'm Tracy Weiner. Ann and I have been friends for a very long time at WGN.
Yeah, we started here in the 90s. I produced Bob Collins and Roy Leonard.
And I produced Spike and Cochran.
So we spent our 20s as wing women for each other, and it didn't work out very well.
But then it did, and we found the right guys, and we stood up in each other's weddings.
And then we had babies within weeks of each other, and we went from producers to reproducers. We make it look easy.
Which brings us to this podcast. We want to talk about topics that intrigue us and you and provide some knowledge to other average parents.
We're average. We're not experts. So we'll tackle these topics with people who know what they're doing.
Yeah, we get the experts. And I fully expect to embarrass myself along the way.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we already have.
So welcome to Apparently. We make it look easy. We make it look good. When everybody's sneezing, they start to make a look.
Apparently, putting distance between you and your kids is a good thing. And I'm talking about summer camp. So, did you ever go to summer camp, Tracy?
I did. I went to a Girl Scout camp.
Okay, how was it?
It was a week sleep away. I'm trying to remember how old I was, but it was a good experience, but it was kind of bad at the same time because I didn't hear from my folks for a whole week.
So, I know your parents, and I got to say, that's hard to believe.
Yes, it was one of those yurts, you know, so it was a cabin, like a platform tent thing. Yeah. And I was with two of the girls in my Girl Scout troop, and I was so excited to go. It was my first time away. I was a little nervous, but, you know, I was like, I was ready because my friends were going. And every day, when around noontime at lunchtime, Wendy and Lisa and everyone else in my cabin were getting care packages with cookies and notes and stickers and pen and paper and, you know, stamps to write. And I got nothing. Literally, I didn't get. I think I cried myself to sleep a couple times because I was like distraught that it was so unlike my mom. I was like, wow, she's really happy to get rid of me.
Yeah. She apparently time away from you is what she wanted.
Yes, exactly. Well, she wasn't alone because she has my two sisters. But all I remember is that the last day to get picked up, it was raining. I can still visually see this 30 plus years later. And we're underneath a plastic canopy to stay dry with our suitcase or our backpack. And my mom rolls up in the line to pick us up, to pick me up. And I get in the car and I just absolutely unload and start bawling in the backseat of our station wagon.
Did it have wood paneling?
It was a wood paneled station wagon. And I just unloaded. I can't believe. And she's like, I sent you something. You didn't get it. She must have waited until Monday or Tuesday. And it just didn't literally get there. I got it when we got back home, like a couple days later. But it literally destroyed me to not hear from them for a week.
That's funny. See, now I went as a kid. I only went once. My cousin was going to a sleepaway camp and she wanted me to go with her. And they were worried that she wouldn't adjust well without a friend, right? So, and I was a year younger, so I was six. And I went and my cousin stayed in our room almost the entire time. And I made a bunch of friends and it was like,
shocker.
Yeah. But it was like a sing along camp. And I was like, you know, like rise
Wait,
and shine.
6 years old?
Yeah.
Oh my!
And they're like, and
I wasn't six.
It was like a Bible camp, and it wasn't my religion either. It was my cousin's religion. So I'm just listening, rise and shine, give God your glory, glory. And my cousin's like, ugh. So, but I had a great time, but I never went back.
It was a one and done.
One and done. Yeah. Mm. And I think also because my parents sort of thought we lived in a pretty rural area, they were like, we are camp.
Yeah.
You know, we'd go out in the morning.
Every summer is camp for our backyard.
And have you sent your kids to camp?
I did. I, for the first time last year, this is why this subject today is really hits home, because it was Kate, it was her first camp last year, a sleepaway for a week. And I'm quite sure that it was way harder on me than it was on her. It was brutal. It was agonizing.
And what was agonizing about it?
Not knowing if she was okay.
Right.
Because, you know, a lot of camps nowadays, I don't know if the girls have gone, but there's no communication. There's no phone.
Nope.
Which I was actually totally psyched about. But then there was no communication back and forth. So I could send, it was a one-way street. So I faxed. So it was a Harry Potter.
Faxed?
It was a Harry Potter week.
Okay.
Theme for the camp. And so every day I like made this logo with like Ravenclaw or like what Huff and Puff or whatever I forget what the names of the
Huff and Puff.
Whatever, you know what I'm talking about? The schools or whatever.
Yeah, Gryffindor or something.
So then I would write my note like, I hope today you're canoeing or this or that and the other thing. But you never hear anything because they're not allowed to write you back. Like they could write you a letter and I went to the mailbox every day faithfully. Doug and I would like fight to go to the mailbox. Yeah. He was going to go first to get the, and nothing. Oh. Not a single letter.
Did you send self-addressed stamped envelopes with her? Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. She was having too much fun.
So I was going all over the whole week. We're like figuring out what, oh, maybe she's just so busy and she just doesn't have time, or, oh, maybe, you know, maybe she's sad or, you know, and she doesn't want to tell us and she's miserable and she doesn't want to disappoint us that she was going or something. I don't know. There was just, I was racking my brain for an entire week. And so that Saturday morning could not, I think I was the first car that rolled into the camp to go get her.
Did you send her a care package like your mom did to you?
I didn't.
Okay. That's why. She didn't write you because
I didn't
no
send,
brownies.
Yeah, no M&Ms. No. Yeah. So no, it was painful for me. But in the end, when she came home, I went and picked her up and she was gathering her friends at the cabin in front of the cabin and wanted pictures. Mom, can you take a picture? Because obviously she didn't have her phone still.
Right.
Can you take a picture of me and Emily or whatever out front? And they were all high-fiving each other, saying goodbye. And I was like, oh, thank goodness.
Well, all right. So
it could have gone the other way.
Well, and this is, I think, the point. Well, our guest is gonna make to us. I think that it's very valuable for them to get away from us.
Uh-huh.
It's probably valuable for us too, but we'll find out. We'll welcome our guest now. So, Dr. Michael Thompson is a New York Times best-selling author, a consultant, and a psychologist who specializes in children and perhaps their mothers. His book, Homesick and Happy: How Time Away from Parents Can Help a Child Grow, focuses on the benefits of sleepaway summer camps. Michael, thanks for your patience and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Anne. And thank you, Tracy. Hi.
Hi. So just break it down briefly for us. Why is camp good for kids?
Look, this is a very conscientious generation of parents.
Yeah.
Who want to be in tune with their children.
That's an understatement.
Who want to be at every game. Who want to be supportive every second. And there's an assumption behind it which is that the parental presence always adds value. Right?
Yep.
If I'm there watching my child do an activity, that adds value for my child. I just want to attack that premise. Is that true?
I think you're going to say no.
I'm going to say no, because if your daughter's playing in a town soccer game, what's most important to her is what's going on with her teammates, mm-hmm. the quality of the opposition, and the coach. But if her mother and father are standing there, then she may have to be seeing the game through their eyes. She may have to be anticipating what her father's going to ask her in the car going home. Mm. And in fact, many kids say they give up town sports because they dread the conversation with the excited, overexcited father in the car. But for me, the issue comes down to psychological ownership of your own life. You can't know it really is just your life unless you do it on your own. So if you go to camp at 6, you know, ooh, I'm at 6 capable of being away from home and looking after myself, even with my cousin, because my mom and dad weren't there. And I know I can do it. I tell parents who come to hear my talks about camp, the single most important thing about sleepaway camp is not the activities, it's not the canoeing, it's not the theater, it's not the horseback riding. The single most important thing about camp is that you aren't there. The parents aren't there. That is what makes it such a vivid life experience.
In your book, you talk, too, about the sort of the disconnect from technology, the disconnect from the parents. But, you know, what is it about being in nature? Because I live in the city of Chicago. Tracy's in a suburb of Chicago. But they don't get outside much.
Right.
Not as much as I'd like.
A free and directed neighborhood play has died in the lives of American children.
Nothing
and
organically happens.
It's a very serious loss. Because kids used to be able to organize their own games. They used to be able to nurture their friendships and their grudges and then go back the next day and do it and then go back the next day and do it.
Everything's planned now. Like, you
That's
plan
right.
a play
it's all,
date. You
it's
plan...
all adult supervised.
Yeah, it's like a petri dish.
So I work at a boys' school, an independent boys' school outside Boston, and we had an eighth grade boy who came his first year with us, and we start our hockey season right after Thanksgiving, but then we have a 2-week break for Christmas. And he went to the director of athletics, George Tahan. He said, "Mr. Tahan, will there be ice time for Belmont Hill boys over Christmas vacation?" And Mr. Tahan said, "Of course, we always have ice time for recreational ice time." And the boy said, "I don't mean like skating in circles, I mean pucks and sticks." And Mr. Tahan said, of course we've pucks and sticks. And the boy said, "Well, will there be goalies there?" And Mr. Tahan said, I don't know. Maybe you'd have to call them." Long pause. And the boy said, well, can you call them?" And George Tahan, who grew up in upstate New York near the Finger Lakes and spent his boyhood organizing games of hockey on a lake and getting other boys to help him shovel the snow off so they could have a game and called goalies and stuff like that, he realized he was talking to a boy who had probably been playing town hockey since he was 6 or 7, but had never organized a game of hockey.
Right.
When adults are involved, something is lost. Leadership, fellowship, because everybody relates to the adult. And I know this generation of parents adores it. But it's really helpful for kids to go away and organize their own games. Well, what do you mean? They have counselors. Well, yeah, but the counselors are just
facilitators.
Big kids. They're just big kids. They're 19, 20, 21. And they do a very good job. And they're amazing. And it's a huge growth experience for them. But they aren't 45-year-old teachers or 45-year-old parents, you know?
Right. My kids go to a YMCA camp, and they've gone for 3 years now, and their counselors are like 19 and 20 years old, but they are incredible role models. And so my little girls go away, and they come back more grown up. I mean, sometimes it's dramatic, you know? They come back
in 5 days, how that happened.
Yeah. But these counselors send them, write them a long letter at the end of camp telling them what they valued about them. And then they have a picture and they sign the picture. And so they, like in the top drawer of my daughter's dresser, there are these photos of these significant people in her life who are not me.
That's awesome.
It is nice. She's building up a series of characters who are role models, and they don't live with her.
Right. In my chapter on the magic of camp, I said quite a few things. I think the magic of camp is actually child development. Mm-hmm. But it's a hard sell, you know, because the camps want to sell themselves as fun. And I'm saying, no, development. That's what camp is about. But I said the linchpin, the central most important magic is the love between 19-year-olds and 12-year-olds.
Right.
That you have no idea. Yes, you do. You have that letter in their daughter's drawer. The love that kids have for these big kids, mm-hmm. these young adults, and the care and the real feeling that these counselors develop about kids. You know, they're their younger brothers and sisters, mm-hmm. and they take such good care of them.
Wow. Okay, great hosts, great guests. Apparently is the podcast, Ann Johnsos and Tracy Weiner. So go to WGNradio.com and listen to all the cool episodes that they have up on the website. WGN, it is Nightside. Dane here with you until 1 a.m. And we are highlighting some of the great podcasts at WGNradio.com, as well as some of the kind of things that are going on for the summer, current events, activities, things you can do with the family and all that kind of stuff. And for those listeners of On the Road on Saturdays, our next guest will be no stranger. She is the guru. You know her from all of her great stuff, even here with the Chicago Tribune, great articles, nationally syndicated, and of course you've seen her on the Today Show, Good Morning America, and all of those travel things. She is traveling the world and America in all of its forms, exciting kind of elevated places, and then also kind of just basic trips you can take with your friends and family as well. She's always taking the kids as well. It's takingthekids.com's very own Eileen Ogans. Eileen, welcome to WGN.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you. Thanks for staying up. Now, this is it. You made your move, and for the listeners, they'll know that you went from the East Coast to not really the West Coast, but you are there in Denver in sort of middle America in the kind of the mountains, but that saved you on the time zone a little bit. It's not as late.
Right. So it's an hour earlier for me than for you.
So what has been the main difference? Is it, you know, because are you seeing a lot of, you know, bighorn sheep? Are you, you know, eagles and things like that?
Not yet. Actually, we're heading up to the mountains tomorrow. So, but right here, we're right in the center of Denver, about a block from the Art Museum, which incidentally is a really cool museum. They have tons of interactives for kids. So we're more like getting adjusted to city life here.
Well, you know, but it's got, like, Denver is a very cool town. For the listeners who haven't been there, make your way out there at some point. Certainly have the mountains as a backdrop, but it's got a great food scene. It's a fun town. It's easy to get around with. I really like Denver.
Yeah, it's totally easy to get around. And it's funny you should mention the food scene, because there was this annual event last week called the Big Eat that it was some 60 local restaurants all came together to sort of show off what they do best. And Denver's got a really big independent food scene here, you know, with independent restaurants and chefs trying new things and sourcing things locally. But what's really interesting is people really bring their kids out to dinner here. And a lot of these new restaurants, if they have kids' menus, they're kind of interesting, you know, think polenta or things like that. And one restaurant exec told me that they don't even think they need kids' menus, because today's parents really want their kids to try more food.
Wow.
And she pointed out that in France, there are no kids' menus. So I pointed out that a lot of times in Paris, you see more dogs than kids in restaurants. But here it does seem there seems to be a thriving scene of what they call fast casual, you know, restaurants.
So
that seems to be good for families. And there's a really big happy hour scene here with not only specially priced cocktails and craft beers, but also food. So it's a good bet for parents who want to eat early, you know, have a drink, have a bite, and then get the kids tucked in bed. So I find it's kind of interesting.
Well, I didn't know that we were going to get so, but you've inspired a lot of people probably to head to Denver. Certainly, that's a great travel destination. You mentioned the museum there as well, and I know a little bit later on in the program, we're going to be talking with Kim from the Indianapolis Children's Museum. And so maybe that could be the first thing to start with, maybe a couple minutes on museums as vacation destinations, right?
Actually, I have an upcoming column talking about just that. The Children's Museum of Indianapolis, your listeners may not know, is the biggest in the world. And they've just opened this really cool multi-acre outdoor sports legends experience where kids and parents can try all kinds of new sports together. So, I mean, that's just one example. You know, whether you're on vacation and it's raining or too hot or whatever, you know, check out a museum. And it can be in a smaller city or even a smaller town. Chicago obviously has world-class museums, but Denver, for example, right now, the Museum of Nature and Science has the Dead Sea Scrolls exhibit, which is really pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, there were more than 900 of these scrolls that were recovered. There's 10 of these fragments going back thousands of years at this exhibit. But there's also a lot of artifacts that kind of explain life in ancient Middle Eastern times. So, I mean, for kids, you can kind of think that sometimes an exhibit like that can spark a kid's interest, you know, and maybe even a future career. So there's the world's largest exhibit of Lego art right now at the Carnegie Science Center in Pittsburgh. And there's one about the world of Blackbeard the Pirate at the North Carolina Maritime Museum. So, you know, future illustrators and authors might want to see. There's Winnie the Pooh coming to the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston in September. So, you know, another thing for parents to think of is, especially if you're a member of, let's say, your art museum or science museum or aquarium or zoo, if you're traveling somewhere, chances are you'll get free entry at these other museums. So you don't necessarily have to try to see everything. You know, you can just try to pick out a few exhibits in advance that everybody will be interested in.
You know, it's a great thing to suggest because you don't necessarily, I guess sometimes if you're going to go to a place and you're going to see, you know, one of those, you know, really famous museums, you know, like the Louvre or something, and you got to figure that in. But there are great museums, and you mentioned it, almost anywhere that you go. And as a kid, I would have, if I would have seen that on the itinerary for the vacation, you know, museum, I might, you know, be like, oh, geez, that's not as cool. But if you're having a museum that's got pirates and Legos and I guess Winnie the Pooh too, man, that could be exciting. Well, I did want to get, this is something that's, I'm sure, on all the kids' radars and certainly on the parents that are listening to them kind of beg for places to go. Disney, as if they needed another thing to make people want to go there, but they never stop, right? They're constantly making it even bigger and better, and now the world, the universe of Toy Story is represented.
Right. Not only Toy Story, but the whole world of Pixar. So on the East Coast in Orlando, Disney just opened up Toy Story Land at, you know, and for people that know Disney World, it's at the Hollywood Studios, and and it's like part of a big remaking or reimagining, as they would, as Disney people would say, of that park, because that's where the big Star Wars land is going to open next year. So the idea is you're supposed to walk into this area, and it's about, I think it's about, I'm thinking about 11 acres, and you're supposed to immediately be the size of a Green Army Man. And for anyone who needs a quick refresher course on the Toy Story movies, Andy's toys, including his beloved Green Army Men, come alive when he's not there. And there's Buzz Lightyear and the Slinky Dog and Woody and
what about
all of these other characters.
What about the evil nemesis, General Lotso?
You know, you don't really see him. The aliens, I don't know if you remember the aliens, but they've got this exhibit where, not an exhibit, but a ride where they're supposed to be taking you on a ride through the galaxy as they deliver pizza, because they're supposedly from the planet Pepperonia. And that was because Andy supposedly won or got that toy at a pizza place. One of the big sort of star attractions there is this Slinky Dog Dash, which is like, I would say it would be like a little kid's first big coaster ride. So, and the backstory is that Andy's kind of assembled a roller coaster from a coaster kit he had, adding his Slinky Dog on the track. So you sit on this ride as if you're sort of on a Slinky Dog, and it sort of takes you all around the backyard. So there's, it's really pretty cool, but I would offer a couple of tips if your listeners are going to be going this summer. You know, it's going to be really crowded, so be prepared for that. And if you download this My Disney Experience app, then you can kind of plan for the crowds by getting your fast passes in advance and kind of plan your stay. And they've also just introduced this new Play Disney Parks app, which has all of these theme games designed for you to play together while you're waiting online.
Instead of having those conversations for like the 2 hours, you know, you get to do some interactive game stuff. That's very thoughtful.
Well, the idea is you're supposed to do it together with your kids, and there's Disney trivia, and there's even like a playlist from Apple that you can download. So it's a pretty, you know, I think it's clever. And then there's also another point is, If you are a Toy Story fan, or you're just, you know, one of those people that has to see what's new at Disney before your neighbors do, you'll want to stay on property at a Disney resort, because they're having these extra magic hours every morning from 7 to 8, all July and August. So it'll be a good thing to get in before it's so hot, number one, and before the huge crowds. And there's also a Play Big offer that can save you 25% on
certain Disney hotels all August through October.
Wow.
So you don't have to totally bust your budget.
Right, you don't have to bust the budget to go have fun. Well, we're all of that stuff. I'm sure a lot of the information, not only on this, these obvious wonderful things to do as far as, you know, some of the Disney stuff is up at takingthekids.com, and then all sorts of other different vacation opportunities and those city guides that you have as well. We've got to take a break, and we've got Kim coming up. She's listening to you right now from the Indianapolis Children's Museum, and so you've kind of led us into that. But Eileen, continued success. Thanks so much for what you're doing, and thanks for jumping on the air today.
Sure, happy to. And you know, I gotta say, the Indy Children's Museum is one of my faves. So for Chicago, it's just a couple of hours to, and it's definitely worth the drive.
Yep, high praise and certainly well deserved. Thanks, Eileen. We'll talk to you soon.
Sure, happy travels.
WGN, it is Nightside here. Dane is with you until 1 a.m. this morning, and we just heard from Eileen Ogans, travel guru, takingthekids.com, and so many cool stuff. She has been absolutely everywhere, and when she says that the place where you're at is one of the absolute best in the world, one of her favorites, you know that is high praise and certainly well-deserved. On the line is one of the driving forces over there at the Indianapolis Children's Museum. She has the entire plan, the scope of things, everything, and it is huge. It is the largest children's museum in the entire world, and is just a very nice and short road trip away from Chicagoland, the one and only Kim Harms. Kim, welcome to WGN.
Thank you. My pleasure to be here.
Yeah, and of course, just as Eileen benefited, since she's moved to Denver, she gets a little bit of a better time because of the time zones, and you're actually, you're a little bit worse, but it depends, right? This is a fun time to get up and share all that stuff, and there's so much happening.
It sure is. Eileen is a hard act to follow, though, because as you mentioned, she's been all over the world, and she has such great advice and, you know, great insight as to, you know, comparing different places and the inside tips and that kind of thing. So I love listening to her whenever I can.
Well, Kim, here's the thing, and I'll set this for the listeners. If you have not been there, and when we got a chance to check it out, I mean, there were a lot of people who were there. So you know that there are crowds of people enjoying it on a daily basis. Sure. But when it comes to a museum, from a kid's perspective and a definition on the kid's side, there is almost nothing museum-like about it. It is a theme park. It is a sports venue. It is fun. It is interactive. It is exciting. I mean, it's a blast. I mean, do you have a hard time kind of calling it a museum, because it's just fun?
Well, it's so many things. It's kind of a science museum. It's got a lot of culture. Oh, it's sure. got history. It's got the outdoor health and fitness, which is sports. It's got truly a little bit of everything. And one of the fun parts of that is watching even grandparents come in with their grandkids, and we have this special pop culture exhibit. And so it's so fun to have kids come in and say, "Oh my gosh, did you really use that?" And the grandparents are, "Yes, I did, and here's what was great about it," or that kind of thing. And it really gives them that topic of conversation or something to kind of step off of, because sometimes it's hard with the grandkids because there is such an age difference, and this gives them something they have in common and something they have fun with together.
Yeah, they've got the pop culture side of things too, and you got to think about the dinosaur exhibits, the opportunity to see, and there's only a few of these in the world, an actual fossilized dinosaur, right? It's there.
Right, the mummified dinosaur Leonardo is one of only a handful of them, and it's really cool because you get to see the musculature of the dinosaur, so it's not just sticks and bones in a sterile-looking white space. It helps you realize that these were really real creatures that lived and breathed and roamed the earth, and it's just fascinating to learn all the different things about the dinosaurs. And we, of course, have a paleo lab so that you can touch fossils, too. So we have our paleontologists who have excavated real fossils from some of our own dinosaur digs. And so it's fascinating to hear them talk about these fossils and how it's kind of like little clues to the mysteries of history. You know, everything they find tells you a story about them. And so we have one of the first furculas ever discovered on a T-Rex. And a furcula is a fancy word for wishbone. So it's this big, kind of looks like a horseshoe type thing. And so it's really interesting to learn all about these great giants that once roamed the earth.
Yeah, I'll let the listeners know we're talking with Kim Harms from the Indianapolis Children's Museum, and we are going to cover a lot of stuff, the sports, the athletes, the some of the comic book heroes, superheroes that are going to be there. Mm-hmm. 720 WGN, it is Dane here, WGN Nightside. In the Allstate Skyline Studios and continuing our conversation with a lady that gets to be at one of the funnest places in the world. It happens to be just an easy family road trip away from Chicagoland. It is one of the crown jewels of the Indianapolis area. It is the largest children's museum in the entire world, and Kim Harms is on the line to help share that. Kim, welcome back.
Thank you.
So here's the thing. We talked about, you know, some of the things that that are there, the interactive, you know, exhibits, and on the science side, it's got all the accoutrements that you'd expect from a museum, especially a children's museum. But one thing that you guys have that nobody has is this amazing new sports complex. And there's, you know, a way to get out there, not only just a museum about sports. You don't just go there and learn, you know, just see maybe exhibits like you would at a Hall of Fame or something. You get out there and you actually do them. You've got basketball, you've got football, you've got racing, you've got golf. How's that been going as far as people enjoying the new sports complex?
Oh, it's been phenomenal, and I think that one of the best things is, like you said, families getting to get out there and play sports together, because a lot of times as the kids get older, you're kind of relegated to the sidelines and the bleachers, but this is a chance to get out there and actually, you know, share some tips both ways. Sometimes kids share tips with parents, and then parents share tips with kids, and then we have coaches out there on each of the experience areas that can kind of help you with different things. And so, for example, if you go to the Weesey Field, you can either have one of those coaches pitch to you, or you can hit from a tee, or they'll field balls. And then we have different skills and drills throughout the day. So you actually get to learn some real sports things. And it's all holistic health and fitness, so that you can develop these habits at a young age and hopefully carry them with you throughout a lifetime and prevent some of these diseases like high blood pressure and diabetes and things like that. So we've partnered with Riley Children's Hospital, and it's been a wonderful ride.
Yeah, and it's kind of sneaky, right? You get out there, you're having fun, all the while you're becoming more healthy and kind of getting some great life habits too. It's a draw not only for sports fans and kids get out there, but also I've heard you guys have some athletes that are stopping by as well.
Yeah, it's amazing. So we had Jackie Joyner-Kersee, the famous track athlete, the Olympic medalist.
Wow.
Then we had today, we had Lexi Thompson was there, and she's one of the LPGA's darlings. She's the youngest to ever qualify for the U.S. Open when she was only 12 years old. Now she's 23, and she had young kids out there today that she was showing tips and things with on the golf course. So that was wonderful, and she had a great time. We've had Andrew Luck, the Colts quarterback. We've had members of the Indianapolis Indians baseball team. You know, you name the sport, and we've had an athlete out there. And everybody just seems to have fun. And we had, it was funny, right before the Indy 500, Ryan Hunter Ray, one of the IndyCar drivers,
yeah,
was out there. And he was like, could not wait to get into the football area, because apparently he played football in high school, and he was just having a blast. And then his family came out there every day the week leading up to the race because they just had so much fun. So you never know who you're going to see out there.
Well, here's the thing, too. It is big. There's a lot of room for everybody. You could have huge crowds get out there, and so much room to get out there and enjoy this stuff as well. And it's permanent. It's the kind of thing that's there, you know, all the time, 24/7 at the museum. But occasionally you guys have really cool exhibits that are sort of traveling in and out. You've got some superhero stuff going on right now, right?
We do, and that has been a huge hit, as you would imagine. We have our own Hall of Justice, so to speak. Everything we do, as you mentioned, is so interactive, and so we're trying to get families to work alongside their favorite superheroes on clues and complete missions and defeat villains, of course. And most favorite parts is we have this green screen, so you can stand in front of the green screen and act like you're flying like Superman, put on a cape and everything, and then you can email at home, so you can prove to all your friends and family that you do have these superpowers, and so you can crash meteoroids or use your laser vision to take down these big robots. So that's a lot of fun.
Well, here's the thing, too, is, and I don't want to characterize it as all fun. There's a lot of education, like you said, that is built into every single bit of it, as well as the kind of thing to let the listeners know you should get out there as early as possible. It is a full day, maybe 2 days, in order to fully kind of take it all in and enjoy it. It is big. So, Kim, let the listeners know exactly where you're located, the website, where they can get information and get out there and enjoy some of this this museum with you.
Absolutely. The website is www.childrensmuseum.org. The hashtag on Twitter is, or the handle is @TCMIndy. And then it's a 3.5 to 4 hour drive, depending on where you are in Chicago. But really, it's so easy. You just take 65 South, and we're right off of 65 and Martin Luther King. You can go to the 30th Street exit, and we are at the corner of 30th and Illinois. We have free parking. Another tip is it's really been slower in the evenings. We have the inside of the museum is open from 10 to 5, but you can enjoy the Riley Children's Health Sports Legends Experience outside, which is a health and fitness area, from 10 to 8. So enjoy the inside in the afternoon hours when it's really hot, and then go outside and have a cooler evening and have a good time out there in the health and fitness area.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, too, Indianapolis as a whole is a great city to, you know, for one of those getaways, of course, see the museum, enjoy all of that. But it's got a great food scene as well, and so much to see and do. And Indianapolis is one of the easiest places to get around. I mean, it's also condensed. It's almost like, you know, the way that you guys have built it, it's kind of, you know, with all the different sports stadiums in there, as far as the football and the basketball. Oh, yeah. It's kind of like a little like amusement park, the way that you've done it. Again, the restaurants are great as well. So Kim, thanks so much again for jumping on and sharing your museum, the Indianapolis Children's Museum, and thanks for jumping on the show tonight.
Thank you. I really appreciate being on. And one other quick thing, 50th anniversary of Hot Wheels, and we have a Hot Wheels exhibit this year, too.
Oh, there it is. as if you needed another reason to go. Thanks, Kim. We're going to have all this up at WGNRadio.com and encourage the listeners to come out
Wonderful.
And see you.
Sounds great. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Thanks, Kim. WGN 720 WGN. It is WGN Nightside. Dane here with you until 1 a.m. Kassara in the booth spinning some really great bumper music. I'm really appreciating the songs that she's got there, and it's something definitely to listen for, as well as some of the great podcasts that we have here at WGN Radio. We are doing a little bit of that with each one of the episodes of Nightside. We're going to try to highlight some podcasts that you either know, love, and enjoy, or the ones that maybe will be new to you that you should listen to and incorporate into your life, and we're going to highlight those hosts as well. So we're going to play some clips from them and then also kind of showcase some of the hosts that are making them possible. On the line with us, we've got the host of Shypedia, one of our favorites here, is Marsha Lyles. Marsha, welcome to your station. Welcome to WGN.
Well, thank you for having me, Dane. Thank you.
Wow. Thanks for staying up and jumping on. You know, we're going to play some clips from some of your adventures that you've built into Shypedia, but we thought it would be great for you to give a little context into the podcast itself, kind of the thought process, the inspiration, what made you start it.
Well, that's a good question, Dane. So I like to call this an experience. We like to take our show on the road a lot. You may not just hear us only in the studio just talking and sitting down and having people come in, but we also go out to a lot of different events that happen out in the community. So Shypedia means Chicago Media for the People, and we go out into the community and cover all of art and entertainment. And so that's what I do. and we have a pretty good team over there at WGN. Other people do things like this in their podcasts as well. But, you know, we cover a lot of the south side of Chicago, the Bronzeville area. Just, you know, we cover all tracks.
You know what? And here's the thing, too. So how often do you do new episodes for those fans that that enjoy it or want to, let's say they hear some of these clips and say we want to subscribe. Like, how often can they hear a new episode?
They can hear it every Friday. Yeah, we drop them every Friday. Sometimes they may get lucky and we'll have a bonus episode.
Yeah.
So, it's so much things to cover. So sometimes there's an overload.
Well, it's very cool because you're always out and about, and you see some of the social media too, and you're constantly running into cool people too. So not only do you're out there, you know, kind of showcasing maybe the neighborhoods or some different events, but also some great personalities that you have on the show, on the guest side as well. So I know you've got a couple or maybe three clips kind of queued up and ready to go. So describe this first one we're going to be hearing.
Okay, so we're going to start here in Chicago with Brandon Bro. I actually had him in the studio with me last week. He came out to talk about his organization that takes kids out on field trips. They take them out to expose them to museums, different art. Actually, not only in Chicago, but they take them to New York and other big cities. So art is all over. It's all around us. And Brandon is actually the artist for Chance the Rapper. He does the cover art for all of his albums and other local artists here in Chicago. So he's the guy to know. He's a good guy to get to know.
Well, it sounds great. And here's you getting to know him and sharing him with the listeners.
We do have a guest in the studio, yes. and they just so happen is the opposite sex. And, I mean, we have our producer, Cam Juleson, with us.
Some testosterone on his podcast for a change. Yes. Hey, fellas.
And we have Mr. Brandon Bro. Go ahead and introduce Brandon Bro to the podcast.
Brandon Bro is somebody who I have known for quite some time now, I think. I don't remember how we met, but I have always been super impressed with his talent. He is just a wonderful and a super talented. I keep saying that, but y'all got to see his work, y'all. He's a designer. He's just done so many different things. I just found out that the Lipton cans that I've been looking at, and I was like, oh, that looks like Brandon's work. It's actually Brandon's work.
Yeah, that's dope.
Okay, but what we're mostly familiar with.
Oh, but what we're mostly familiar with is, of course, we were just talking about Chance the Rapper, and he is one. The Acid Rap cover, I believe it was. He designed that as well as other cover art for lots of local hip hop artists, and he's doing some amazing community work. That's why he's here, because I wanted him to talk about all that he's doing for these kids. Brandon, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
I did
all of the covers though too. I wanted to just to be clear, because I want.
Oh, he did all the covers. Yes, good. So we're gonna make sure we put some claps. Yeah. He did all the covers. But you are here today to talk about field tripping and what you're trying to do to expose the Chicago youth, inner city youth, to the art. So tell us more about what you got going on.
Yeah, so Field Trip is a program, or it was an idea that I came up with last year when I went to the MCA to see an exhibit. And I think exhibits are those things that exist within cities, and if you know about them and you have time, you go to them, and if you don't, you won't. Mm-hmm. And it was something in the exhibit that spoke to me, and I just said to myself, as many kids in Chicago need to see this as possible, because the work is really vibrant and really inspiring to kids. It's really colorful, and I really feel like kids, you know, you get a lot from it. And years before then, I had to fly to LA to see some of that artist's work. You know, so, you know, I wanted to make sure as many kids in Chicago get to see it, or that I could, you know, I could provide to or allow to see it. So I started renting buses and taking them to MCA to see the exhibit. And I think I got three solid bus loads before the exhibit was gone.
Wow.
But it was just something that, you know, I think that needed to be done. And it was my way of being at this stage in my life and just not just sitting on ideas, just really being active about them and making them happen. And now, you know, that movement that idea has inspired some other people, and now have partners in what we're forming as a nonprofit to continue to do more projects like this.
Who are you partnering with?
I'm partnering with a friend of mine, Jeff Ulrich. He's founder of Earwolf, and I can't think of the other brand. I just lost it. But they were their podcast advertising channels or companies, right? They really monetize pretty much podcasting through commercials for podcasters. Okay. So he's one of the pioneers in that field.
So how did you get into art?
I got into art.
You?
Well, you know, I think I got into art before I even knew what inspiration was. Mm. And, you know, I've been drawing since way before I can remember. There's an old box at home with a lot of my old illustrations in it that my mom has kept. It's a couple of them that I have no idea when I did. The earliest thing I remember drawing was a Ninja Turtle.
Wow,
maybe
really?
He-Man, something like that.
Something so basic.
I think most little boys did that too.
Yeah. You know, you get that, and that's what inspired. I was inspired before I knew what it was, right? And I started, you know, drawing those figures, and I would draw family. But that's how I got into art. It wasn't until later that you figure out art is this thing, you know,
okay.
and it's. Their art schools and their but museums.
What, did you have like someone around you that pushed you into that position? Because, like, a lot of times, you know, like you said, we start out doing that as a child, maybe just doodling a little bit. But sometimes it takes that extra push or just exposure. Like, who exposed you to it to know that you can take it this far?
Yeah. I didn't know. You know, I was really interested in comic books at one point. And I just followed my path, my natural path. I know my mom had paintings. She would collect black art, have art in the home. Mm-hmm. I didn't so much associate it to money, though, and, like, living and being able to be secure. It wasn't a concern of mine. I just did it because it was something that I love to do.
Yeah.
And around me, it was that, you know, this was post-70s, and I think there was a lot of, like, pro-black art. My mother had a Ernie Burns, I believe. Yeah, Ernie Burns print. That's the guy who did the Good Times painting.
Okay.
All dancing and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She had one of his prints in his home, in our home. And just things, I would see things like that. You know, my art wasn't necessarily about those things at that time. I was drawing action figures and stuff. But it was comforting to know that there was something else, and there was other people that did this thing too.
Well, cool stuff. We're hearing some of the clips from episodes of Shy Petey. We have the host, our very own Marsha Lyles, on the line with us as well. So, Marsha, this next clip that we're going to hear, and great stuff, by the way, so thanks for sharing it. What's the next one that's up here?
Okay, so everyone knows about Nickelodeon, and I'm sure everyone is pretty familiar with Tell Mitchell. Well, he was here in Chicago some weeks back for the Nickelodeon Flying Fest, and I got a chance to sit down with him and catch up with him. You know, he's been MIA for a bit, so we'll get to learn some new things about Kel.
Here it is.
When I was growing up, actually in high school, I recall I used to watch Nickelodeon. I was a Nickelodeon girl. I liked it, okay?
Me too.
So if you remember Kenan and Kel then, right?
Of course. My mom thinks Kenan is our cousin. I don't know why. She talks about that man like he's family.
Really?
I'm like, Mom, because she loves Kenan and Kel. She's a huge fan, but she was like, hey, did you see Kenan or something? I'm like, Mom.
Now that's so random.
It is random. She is random. But
so,
she loves him, so yeah.
I used to love watching Good Burger.
Yeah.
Welcome to Good Burger.
I'm on the Good Burger.
Can I take your order? Okay, yeah. So I'm sorry to be corny for a little bit, but we had the Nickelodeon Slime Fest here recently, and I had a chance to sit down with Kel.
Oh, yeah.
And he talked about the whole reboot as well, because, you know.
And let's not forget to mention that Kel is a Chicago native.
He sure is. He started out at the ETA Creative Arts.
Yes, he sure did.
Big shout out to them.
Yes.
You know, I'm learning so much. There's so much history here in Chicago.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. But listen to what he has to say about reboots.
I'm from Chicago. So
are you?
From the South Side.
Why did I know?
South Side of Chi, yep.
And when did you leave? How old?
Well, when all that came out, that was like 95, you know what I mean? So,
that was my time.
Yeah.
I was just told not too long ago that I was an OG.
Okay.
So I guess it makes you an OG.
Yeah, OG. But we still look young, though. You know what I'm saying?
Come on, yeah. That's right. You left when you was about how old again?
I was in high school. I was about 15, 16, yeah.
I thought you were one Nickelodeon before all that.
Yeah, no, all that was first, and then after all that, then it was Kenan and Kel, and yep.
And then we moved on to Good Burger.
And Good Burger.
You know, that was one of my favorite ones.
Thank you.
Junior high school.
Thank you.
I remember telling my friends about it, and they tried to act a little, you know, like, oh, that's young. That's good enough on me, right?
Yeah.
And the next thing I know, they came over and said, man, I love this movie.
Yeah.
So you did an awesome job
Thank
on
you.
That.
Thank
and,
you.
I mean, what was it? Were you always like this bunny when you were a kid? And-
I was. us, like, my entire family, like, we like to joke around and have fun, dancing and singing and stuff like that. So that it was in there. And then I was a theater kid in Chicago. Okay. So I was at ETA Creative Arts Foundation.
I know about that.
Yeah. So I worked under Renako Jahi, who was just awesome, taught me awesome skills. I did some drama there, too, as well. And it was just awesome. And I worked from ETA Creative Arts Foundation to Victory Gardens Theater. I did some stuff at Goodman Theater as well. And then I got an agent out here. And that was Aria Talent Agency here out in Chicago. And then I got discovered by them and started going on auditions. Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. Ended up in La La Land.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I was just talking about the lab. You know, you keep catching me off guard with the lab. And, you know, I just keep having flashbacks of good work.
Yeah.
I'm a dude.
He's a dude.
He's a dude.
She's a dude.
She's a dude.
We're all. Whoa.
Welcome to Good Burger.
Home of the Good Burger. Can I take order? Well, that's it.
Okay, so when are we going to get a part two of that?
You know, the conversations have started. Yeah, so we've been telling people, you know, we have had a couple of meetings about it. We just got to get the script right.
So it was that much of a hit that trying to, you know, my question is that why is it that they're trying to reboot everything?
You know, I don't know. I mean, that was just it was that era. Like, you know what I mean? I think people are craving that same family entertainment for their kids. That, you know, we kind of grew up on, I think they want it for their kids, you know, so that's what's happening right now. It's a lot of reboots. Yeah, everything's coming back. They were doing Bill and Ted is coming back too, so yep.
Okay, so we're gonna see much more of you.
Yeah,
future.
Yeah, and original projects too as well. Okay. Yeah.
Alright.
Yeah.
But is it always gonna be the same funny guy that we know?
Yeah, of course. We're gonna bring some funny.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my question also is, do you really like orange soda in your life?
I do, ooh, but healthy orange soda. No fructose. And zero calories.
Okay.
Yeah, healthier.
Yeah, Marcia, that is priceless. We love Good Burger. My kids, we've got little kids. You know them. They saw Good Burger for the first time maybe 6 months ago, and they have watched it like five times since then. They absolutely love it. It's timeless.
Dang, yes, it is. I was still watching. I watch it with my kids. I love it, and I'm looking forward to part two of that and Bill and Ted. So.
Oh my gosh, that is great stuff.
I don't know.
I know we've got one more clip that you're going to share with us, kind of set it up for us so we know what we're going to hear.
All right, so the last one, this was from my trip to Miami Beach a month ago. I went to the American Black Film Festival, and I had the opportunity of sitting down with some cast members of different shows that you may see on Netflix. Well, this particular cast, a lot of people may remember this guy from a rap group, Run DMC. Well, I sat down with Rev Run and his wife, Justine Simmons, and they gave us the scoop on their upcoming show on Netflix. It's going to be called All About the Washington.
Here it is, Shypedia.
I was able to sit down with one of my faves. All of them are my faves, but this one really goes back to childhood because I grew up listening to him a little bit. I guess, you know, I'm an 80s baby, so most people would definitely say that I was too young to remember this. But Run DMC, of course, he takes us back. But now, you know, he's a family man. We've all seen him on Run's House with his family. But now him and his wife have a new show that will be premiering on Netflix pretty soon, called All About the Washingtons. And this will actually be a scripted show. I got a chance to sit down and talk to them as well. And let's see what they have to say about what's coming up.
We have a new show coming on Netflix, and it's called All About the Washingtons.
Okay.
You know, our last name is Simmons, but this is a scripted show.
Yes.
And it airs
August 10th.
Yep.
And it's scripted, and we have new kids.
So new kids.
So
okay.
You'll see Angela, Vanessa, JoJo.
Yeah, okay.
And you will love our new kids as well.
Oh,
it's scripted. It's not a reality show.
But this is a comedy.
It's a comedy. Yes. It's a love. It's family.
Yeah. Truthfully, it does remind you of Run's House.
It'll remind you of Run's House.
Yeah, we're producers of the show as well, so
it feels like us.
It's basically stories that we are going through in our real life. He wants to retire, which he doesn't really.
Yeah,
we can't even sit still. And I have a lot of ideas I want to do and inventions, and he's trying to slow down, and I'm ready to speed it up.
You know what? There's no time to sit. So what made you decide to come back with something like this?
I was doing a lip sync battle for LL Cool J, and his agent came up to me and said, what do you think of Scripted? And it kind of caught me off, and I told my manager to talk to the agent. Next thing you know, he connected us to Spielberg's company, Amblin, and ABC, and we put together a reel and ended up going to Netflix, and here we are, August 10th, All About the Washington.
We're going to be looking forward to this.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, thank you so much
once again. Nice to meet you.
We're looking for, you know, when I initially heard the name, I thought it was all of, you know, like All About the Benjamins.
Right.
You know, so
I'll be dollar bills instead of $100 bills, right?
Yeah. So $1 bill.
No, but it's just our last. My name is Joey Washington, and she's Justine Washington.
Okay. So that's what it is.
Exactly.
All right.
And he's MC Joe Speed.
I'm not Joseph Simmons. I'm Joe Speed. I'm not Run from Run DMC. My name is MC Speed.
A lot of flips.
Yeah. A lot of flips. You'll enjoy it.
I will be looking forward to it.
What up, world? It's been a minute since we talked. The time has been treating your mama's favorite rapper well. But I must admit, I miss the adventure of tackling new challenges. So I'm here to let y'all know something big is coming.
Hey, ref, we're ready for you on stage 2.
All right, cool. I'll be right there.
He's on his way.
Dot, dot, dot. Just wait and see.
Jaipedia, Marshall Isles, and great stuff, because these are nationally known and kind of beloved people, a lot of these great guests, but also bringing it home to Chicago with some great history and coverage of things that are going on right here in our city. So, Marsha, as we let you go, you know, give the website or social media or other things people can keep up with you.
Absolutely. Please subscribe to Chipedia on iTunes. You can also follow us at WGNRadio.com because we update every Friday. Also, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Chipedia Podcast.
Well, thanks so much, Marsha. Love what you're doing. Keep up the good work. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Ben.
Oh, what's he gonna do? You wanna get down? Tell me. 720 WGN. It is Dane here for WGN Nightside in the Allstate Skyline Studio. 303 Wacker, and it's that. You know, this is the kind of day, right? You know, if you spend any time outside, you sweated probably quite a bit, and you know, this is an opportunity to get out there, do some things. You know, we had some great travel tips from Eileen Ogans, and of course Kim Harms talking about the Indianapolis Children's Museum, and then of course on the way to any road trip, be sure to tap into some of the great podcasts here at WGN Radio as well. So it's been great to highlight those. But when you're looking for some summer entertainment, maybe a way to get out of the heat a little bit, you can get into oftentimes air-conditioned areas for some of our great theaters around the Chicagoland area, wherever you are. If you're in Peoria, as our guest Blake Stubbs often is, Blockbuster Blake Stubbs, the one and only, the man, the myth, the cinematic legend, is on the line with us. Blake, welcome to WGN.
Well, thank you. That's quite an introduction. Greatly appreciated. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing all right. We're doing okay. We kind of feel we're in one of those kind of lulls, those time periods where it doesn't feel summer blockbustery enough. You know, where's all the buildup? Where's all the, you know, those commercials with the guy that says "In a World," you know, that kind of stuff. What's going on? I know that on the Marvel side, and my son Maxwell has gotten a chance to see, his uncle takes him to all the movies as they come out. You know, where you get some of the stuff the day early, right? And they've got a little bit of swag that goes along with it. And so Ant-Man and the Wasp, it came with a little like magnifying glass and comic book that, even with the magnifying glass, it's still, at least for me, impossible to read. But are people getting out there? I know that was just for that opening night. People that go to the movies now, all they're going to get is obviously the movie. But what are your thoughts on it so far?
Well, I got to be honest. I saw this movie, I believe it was the second night that it was out, so I saw it with a pretty packed crowd. And it would have been the Friday, you know, the Friday of its release. And I have to be honest with you, I laughed a lot. I had a lot of fun with this one. Compared to, you know, with the start of this blockbuster year, we had Avengers Infinity War, you know, the colossal Marvel movie. We talked about it a lot leading up to it.
Yes.
And it had consequences, and people have had reactions to it. Ant-Man and the Wasp is a nice departure from that. This film actually chronologically takes place before Avengers Infinity War. And so you're catching up with the character of Scott Lang, played by Paul Rudd, and he's been under house arrest since the events of Captain America Civil War, meaning actual house arrest. He couldn't leave his house, and aside from his visits with his daughter, and he's trying to be the best dad he can be, he doesn't have a whole lot to do. So you get some good Paul Rudd moments in there. Obviously, Michael Pena's back, who's, I think, a lot of people's favorite character from the first Ant-Man film. And obviously, Michael Douglas as Hank Pym and Evangeline Lilly as Hope Van Dyne. So it's a lot of the same characters if you remember the first Ant-Man film. But it's a nice continuation.
Yeah,
a very nice continuation.
You can't forget the first one. The first one was, it was a kind of a departure from the normal. You know, they've done this. You know, Marvel has a theme, and then they build it, and this is part of the Marvel universe, but totally, I don't want to say it's different. Yes, there are still superheroes, and there's still, you know, snapping on crime and all that, but it was a little bit different, and Paul Rudd is, at least from my mind, a reluctant superhero, at least for me to accept him. It was like, really? And I'm surprised, Blake, that you said, you know, that you were surprised that you laughed so much, because these are funny guys.
Yeah, and I think the surprise just simply came from the most recent Marvel film that's come out. And aside from a brief blurb before I went into the theater, I didn't fully know where this film was going to fall in the timeline. Because, I mean, I think a couple of times I've talked with you about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, like, there's a serious timeline here. And if you don't quite understand where everything's falling, it can get confusing. So when I walked into this, I thought, well, if this takes place before, this will probably be a lot more lighthearted, more fun. It'll definitely, you know, lift my spirits moving forward. And it did, 100%. And some of the jokes were very pleasant surprises. I mean, the movie, much like its predecessor, you know, Ant-Man, it definitely manages to contain itself and be entertaining. And I kind of don't need to remember that it's part of this bigger universe. Well, the only reason this character is because he was in Civil War.
Right. Well, here's the thing, too, is you had to check your Marvel, you know, kind of calendar of events. And so, yeah, so you thought to yourself that, hey, this happened before the, you know, genocidal apocalyptic downer that is
the big one.
You're like, oh, yes, everyone, you know, many more people are still, you know, alive at this point. So maybe that'll be something to enjoy. Well, here's the thing, too, is remember how much you liked it. I know the listeners liked it as well. We enjoyed it. We watched it a lot of different times is Thor Ragnarok. Is it that kind of funny where it's like almost slapstick and goofy?
I want to give the bits where Paul Rudd and his crew of friends are together very much falls in that slapstick fun, laugh out loud, you know, and it's really not just because they're saying jokes back and forth, but it's the characterization, the dynamics that they have together. And while you could watch, you know, almost like a sitcom of characters like that together, they kind of sparse them out in this film enough where the comedy hits when it needs to. They're able to forward the story along, which is a pretty fast-moving story. And by the end of it, you've had a good time at the movies. So I really did feel like the overall, like, you know, delivery of Ant-Man and the Wasp was kind of, at this point in summer, exactly the type of movie I wanted to see. And so it comes with high praise from me because I kind of walked in thinking, you know what, Marvel, like, they really delivered some big stuff with, you know, Black Panther this year. They've got Infinity War, and we kind of know what's coming, but not really. And then this lands, and it's just a really fun ride. I would put it somewhat in the vein of Thor Ragnarok in terms of the comedy and the enjoyment factor. But also keep in mind, you know, you have these Guardians of the Galaxy films that are also pretty offbeat compared to some of the other bigger properties in the Marvel franchise.
Right.
And this kind of falls in that vein. And it definitely embraces its own character, which is something that I think it has to do if it's going to succeed as a franchise, that they keep making movies, you know, by and large for their own Ant-Man property. And in this case, and the Wasp, who, by the way, the action sequences in this are a lot of fun. You will laugh at them. And it's because of the big and small elements that go with it. And also, Evangeline Lilly, she's tough. And I like how her character gets a lot to do in this film. I felt like they really kept her sort of locked away to bring her out big in this one. And if you walked away from the first Ant-Man thinking, you know what, Hope Van Dyne's a great character, they should have done more with her, you definitely want to get out and see this one. So I got to give Ant-Man and the Wasp high praise, especially this late in the summer. You know, we're kind of winding down. on blockbuster season. We have a few other things coming up, like Mission Impossible Fallout, which is the next major release for this summer. But this one snuck in right at the right time, and I hope people are getting out there and seeing and talking about it for the
yeah.
most part.
Well, here's the thing, too, is the way that they've done sort of the action sequences with the where they're flying along and doing that kind of stuff, it's almost mm-hmm. like a car chase, right? Except they've done it where yep. where they're doing it as these little characters kind of running or flying or whatever. It's kind of exciting. It builds in that same kind of level of excitement. And you and I have talked, you know, over the years, and we've all, I think the world in general has been amazed at sort of this kind of org chart, you know, that they've got going on, where right. they're able to tie all these movies together, and they've done it for, you know, a 10-year span. And it's hard to believe, right? Because if they didn't know they were going to be 100% successes early on, that they may have never gotten to this point, right? It would have been just, hey, that's a, you know, that's like, they may not make a Baywatch 2, right? Because it's just not
right.
a bad idea. You don't want to go 10 years out kind of planning that franchise. So for this one, and you mentioned a little bit into that connection of how it fits into the scheme within Infinity Wars, did it seem like a natural kind of fit into that whole big scheme?
It does, only because of where the Marvel films have been very well known for their post-credit sequences, or stingers, as they're called. There's also sometimes they're interwoven within the credits. There is a scene when the movie's over in the credits that definitely brings it back home. And now you know where you are chronologically in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So, yes, it does connect. It manages, like I said earlier, it manages to stay very contained. It tells its story in an entertaining and fun way. And then at the end, you get, you know, credits start rolling, and you get this other scene. And that scene sort of sets up, I think, because, you know, we all had a lot of questions after Infinity War. I think it gives us some loose answers, or at least sets up the premise for where answers could potentially come from when this next Avengers film comes out next year.
Okay.
So, you know, and we were all kind of left wondering, like, oh, how are they going to do this? And how are they going to do that? They leave enough open at the end of this, if you're paying attention, where you're going to be like, oh, okay, there's a potential avenue where this could go. And I think that just shows you how, like, yeah, they wanted Ant-Man and the Wasp to be its own franchise contained thing, but it still has these deeper connections to a bigger picture. And it definitely does. It works. It worked for me, at least.
Well, one of the things that's connecting itself to probably four or five other movies that are out at the same amount of time is that Dwayne mm-hmm. Johnson, The Rock, is starring in them. And so when yeah. we come back from this break, we're going to talk about, and I got a chance over this last weekend to do a little talk about it. I just didn't get kind of the full blockbuster Blake Stubbs, like, you know, lay of the land mm-hmm. as far as this one goes. And then also kind of where The Rock is fitting in as kind of, I think, our resident action hero, supplanting, you know, we have, you know, a Bruce Willis or an Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's our guy now. I feel like that, but with even a better sense of humor. /720 WGN. It is WGN Nightside. Dane here with you for another handful of minutes before we get to 1 a.m. And stay tuned for Nick DiGilio. He'll be coming up. And on the line with us, we've got the one and only blockbuster, Blake Stubbs, as we kind of look at the different pieces of the puzzle when it comes to movie stars. Who's a movie star? Who's a great actor? Who's an action hero? And I got to think that, I mean, it certainly is. He's almost become like the Nicolas Cage of doing all the movies, right? Blake, welcome back.
Right. Hello. Yeah, I would agree with you to an extent on that, very much.
And we're talking about Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He's been in, I think so, he has like a few movies out almost at the same time. And so Skyscraper is one of those. I've heard it described as Towering Inferno meets, you know, what was the movie with Bruce Willis that was, you know, or one
Die Hard meets
Towering Inferno. And of course, since he almost, I don't want to put the word, it's a think tank, right? Is that maybe down the road he could be a Marvel superhero. You never know. He does some things that nobody can do that don't seem possible on the athletic side.
Yeah, no. So, you know, The Rock, and we've talked about The Rock before. I'm a fan of The Rock. I've been a fan of The Rock since I was a kid. I was a pro wrestling fan. And his transition to The film world has been one of the most wildly successful stories that anyone can, you know, recall. He's one of the highest paid people in Hollywood. He's one of the hardest working people in Hollywood. And he doesn't really have, and you brought up Nicolas Cage, he doesn't really have any kind of severe over-selectiveness in the way that he chooses the films he's going to make.
Right.
So, I mean, he does comedies. He does big action films. He does franchise action films. He does his own, you know, type of properties where he's the star, and he surrounds himself with usually pretty decent talent. Skyscraper, I think, is a film that falls under that category. It's about a man who was once part of an FBI hostage rescue team, and a specific incident went horrifically wrong. He survived, as did a couple members of his team, and years later, he has a family now. He's recovered from his injuries. He has a prosthetic leg, and he's a like head of security. He's trying to assess whether this massive skyscraper, and when I say massive, I mean it's supposed to be three times the size of the statue of the Empire State Building, and it's practically a city that is built from the ground up. And he's if his assessment, you know, goes through, then it can be insured and people can live there. So a pretty basic premise, right? Well, everything has to go to hell in a handbasket in order for us to have an action movie. And guess what? It does. But here's the thing. The Rock, and usually in the films that he's playing, they try to play up his charisma. Think Jumanji. You know, the character he was playing, this young, nervous person who then becomes this, like, you know, very strong-willed, brave person.
Right.
This has a bit more of a tortured soul approach to it. There isn't a whole lot of comedy in this, aside from moments he shares with his family. This is more of a hardened action film. I would file it more under not so much Die Hard, because Die Hard has a lot of comedy in it.
Comedy, yeah.
This falls more in the realm of there's a film with Jean-Claude Van Damme called Sudden Death, which Blackhawks fans and Penguins fans will definitely know because it's about a, you know, supposed attack that's going to take place at a Stanley Cup game. Well, that's sort of it, but it's much more serious in nature. The whole film is. Skyscraper kind of falls in that category. It's also one of the reasons that, you know, big spectacle, visuals are pretty good. The Rock is good. Neve Campbell is pretty good. And the host of actors around them are fine. The movie just doesn't really seem to, how do I say this? It doesn't go above and beyond to hook me early.
Right.
It kind of, you know, eases into it. You get this emotional story, and now you feel connected to this character. But now everything just feels like, okay, well, now everything, I just know everything is going to go wrong, and so there's a severe predictability to it.
Okay, so...
But is it played well? Yeah, for the most part.
All right, so we got maybe about a minute left, and I just saw the Underexposed Rock, I guess is coming, Rampage is coming out on Blu-ray. And so in about 30 seconds, your thoughts on Rampage. This is one, of course, the kids have been begging to see it because it's got giant monsters, you know.
Yeah, giant monsters, they can be viewed a little bit scary, depending on the age of the child, but I actually thought Rampage was much more fun. I thought that the Rampage played to the Rock's strengths from beginning to end, and despite its cheesiness, it worked for me, much more than Skyscraper did.
Oh my gosh, despite its cheesiness, well, it's one thing that's never cheesy, you know, unless you want it to be, unless we're talking a food movie or something like that, is your reviews, assessments, and observations on the cinematic scene. So, Blake, give out your social media and so people can keep up with you before we let you go.
Absolutely. You can find me directly on Twitter, at Blake Stubbs. That's BLAKESTUBBS, at Blake Stubbs on Twitter. Let's talk movies. In fact, I'm looking for somebody to talk to me about Leave No Trace, which stars Ben Foster, a film that I'm looking forward to seeing tomorrow. And I think it's going to be one of those lesser known films throughout the year, but possibly a sleeper hit if it's good. Well, so there you go.
It's only
Blake Stubbs on Twitter.
Only going to be lesser known until you give it that Blake Stubbs stamp of approval, the stub of approval, stub up. All right. Thanks, Blake. Have a great rest of your night, and thanks for jumping on.
Thanks. You too. Have a good one.